In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So last week I talked about how the Lenten readings often, there are a number of exorcisms that the church kind of like encourages us to consider during Lent. And this morning we have another story of an exorcism. Jesus drives out demons in our readings quite frequently during Lent. He says today, "If I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you." So last week I also talked about how, or last couple Sundays actually, I talked about how the disciplines of Lent, specifically silence and solitude, becoming empty, fasting, almsgiving, those kinds of things, those Lenten sort of things that we are commended to do at this time of year, they all have to do with becoming empty, right? And these are meant to result in a clarity of vision. And that clarity of vision, our vision is clarified by those enterprises in order to see, as I've said the past couple of Sundays, the malignant power that is set against us in the world, operating often behind the scenes, and even not just in our world, but sometimes in our lives. There's a malignant power sort of in operation secretly that works not least by way of temptation. And the purpose of fasting and silence and solitude, one of the purposes at least, is to be able to see clearly what opposes us, the power in the world and in our lives that is set against us. But of course, it's not just sufficient to become empty and to see clearly the power that opposes us, because we also have to overcome that power, right? It's not just, doesn't do you any good just to like see it. Right? There's a dragon sitting there. Great. All right, now what? Well, we have to fight. That's the purpose. You know, that's what we're goaded on to do, and we're called to fight in order to overcome. But that's for example why the in baptism there's a lot of language in our liturgy and in our hymns about fighting, right? Onward, Christian soldiers marching as to war, right? With the cross of Jesus going on before. And I'm reminded too of how in baptism, the priest, you know, makes the sign of the cross on the forehead of the baby, usually with blessed oil, and he says, "We receive this child into the congregation of Christ's flock, and do sign him with the sign of the cross, in token that hereafter he shall not be ashamed to confess the faith of Christ crucified, and manfully to fight under his banner against sin, the world, and the devil, and to overcome, and to continue Christ's faithful soldier, right? Fighting soldier and servant unto his life's end," right? So it's a sort of a strange thing that we should mark a baby's forehead with oil with the sign of the cross as a reminder that he is called to be a soldier and manfully to fight under the banner of Christ. But it's true. We're meant to recognize, we're meant to have our vision clarified, to see clearly the power that opposes us in the world, and then to fight against it in order that we can overcome it. Manfully fight, says the 28 prayer book. It's a great phrase. So how do we do that? That's the question. The clear vision comes through, as I've said, emptiness and stillness and silence and prayer. The manful fighting, in other words, the prayer book, the victory, in other words, comes through practicing virtue, I'm going to suggest. First, we divest ourselves of sin and even divest ourselves of those good things in the world that distract us from doing what we need to do, things like eating food, right, and being too busy. So we divest ourselves of those things and we confess our sins and put away our sinfulness. And then we fill ourselves with the weapons of war, right? We arm ourselves with virtue. That's what that means. So how do you go about doing that? That's the question, right? Push it back. How do you do that? And two things I want to suggest are important. One, we do that by accepting God's standards, and two, by living according to those standards. I talked last week briefly about how the poor Canaanite woman in that gospel story exemplified this very dynamic. She accepted Christ's word, even an insulting word to her, right? He called her a dog. She accepted his word, that difficult word, in humility and in trust. And those two things are our watchwords, humility and trust. Humility is in the form of deference to a standard that isn't our own and that maybe isn't even native to us, but certainly doesn't originate with myself, right? That takes humility to defer to God's standard, which isn't original to me. And secondly, to trust in his power, right? To work in my life. So those two things, humility and trust, deference to God's word and to his standards, and then trusting in his power to work in my life and distrusting by implication my own power, right? The collect for a couple weeks ago said we put no trust in anything that we do, right? Trust in God's power. And this, by the way, is the dynamic behind the Lord's cryptic words in today's gospel, where he said, it is, but you know, he implies, it is by the finger of God that I cast out devils. And this is how we can know that God's kingdom has come upon us, he said, right? If by the finger of God I cast out devils, then no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you, right? Because Christ is doing this very thing, deferring to the dynamic power of his Father, right? And casting out the power that opposes us by God's power, by the finger of God, which means that the kingdom of God has come upon us. We talked this morning in the book discussion about how a kingdom is the area within which, you know, the king's will is put into force, right? So if you're living in a kingdom, it's not your will that's done, it's the king's will that's done, right? So if by God's power Christ's cast out these devils, then no doubt God's kingdom has come upon us. And the coming of that kingdom, the acceptance of God's law, his standards, right, which is what a kingdom is, ironically and paradoxically means freedom for us, right? This is a paradox of the Christian life, that to accept, you know, what people like to call a heteronomy, right? The rule of another, which is the opposite of autonomy, to accept the heteronomy of God, accept his law in your life rather than your own, the result of that is freedom, right? In God's service is perfect freedom, says the second collect at Matins. And Paul talks about this in terms of the glorious liberty of the children of God, which comes about by accepting God's standards. Now, it's important also to notice that this is all diametrically opposed to what our world, by which I mean our culture, propounds, what our culture tells us. Our culture would tell us that freedom comes through overthrowing inhibitions, casting off any standards that did not originate with me, right? And doing what I will, doing my own will, doing what I want to do, perhaps especially overthrowing the standards of religion. But any kind of like standard or rule or law that I did not choose needs to be gotten rid of. And we need to be disinhibited of those things so that our own will can manifest itself, right? That's what our culture and our world tell us. But I would suggest a tree is known by its fruit. And we see all around us the fruit of life lived in this way. And we see, you know, vast swaths of our culture descending into a kind of insanity and degeneracy and violence and poverty and death and alienation and all kinds. There's all kinds of evil fruit that come from this theory of life that our culture seems to hold quite dear. The truth is, as the second collect at Matins puts it, that God is the author of peace, the lover of concord, and that in his knowledge standeth our eternal life, and crucially, that in his service is perfect freedom. Our perfect freedom, our freedom is perfected by doing God's will, by serving him and not ourselves. To be in God's service means to accept his will, his standard for our life, and not to trust in anything that we do, or anything that originates with us. And that, by the way, was exactly what the collect for Sexagesima Sunday said. It said, O Lord God, who seest that we do not put in our trust in anything that we do, mercifully grant that by thy power we may be defended against all adversity. This is such an important word for our time, I believe, that the glorious liberty that is God's intention for each of us comes from him and not from us or from anything that we do or that we can do. And that our part in seeing this glorious liberty actualized in our lives in our own lives and in the life of our society as well. Our part is humility and trust, like the Canaanite woman from last week. Humility and trust in God, becoming empty, divesting ourselves of those things in us that come from ourselves or that come from the world or the power that opposes us in the world, right? Our prayer, the Bible and the prayer booky kind of word for those things are the world, the flesh, and the devil, right? Getting rid of that stuff from our lives, emptying our lives of those things, and letting God's word take their place. God's word, which is also the bread that came down from heaven, the holy food and drink of new and unending life, a new and unending life of liberty, of freedom. That's exactly what Jesus says at the end of the gospel lesson today, by the way. Someone calls out in the crowd, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the paps that you sucked." And Jesus says, "Blessed rather is he who hears the word of God and keeps it," right? Listens to God's voice, hear God's word, right? And some people think that that is a sort of, you know, an implicit sort of rebuke of Mary or something. But elsewhere in the Gospels, the Gospel writers are clear that Mary is the one that exemplifies this. She is the one who kept these things in her heart, right? The heteronymous word of God, she kept it in her heart and pondered it, right? So we can look to her as well as we can to the Canaanite woman from last week to see an exemplar of one who listens to God's word, meditates on it, right, and keeps it. Jesus said, "If I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God, his rule, right, the dominion within which he rules, has come among you." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.